podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
118.
118. 118. So we're on episode 118. There's no Tanya to correct me yet, but I'm here with Abdi. What are you saying?
Just call her. We can get to the insurance.
Man, I was going to do it sneakily. But
oh, okay, cool.
Did you say we can get to the insurance?
The intro is... We're having a big conversation about insurance. Just a couple minutes ago.
So
Junior is currently dialing Tanya, who is not in today. So
not in today. Is this school?
Yeah, I know. She actually got called, picked up by the Federales the other day.
She got picked up by the Federales. Yeah, Tanya, can you confirm if this is true or not?
I was wondering who you were talking about just then.
If it's Abdi, you know it's going to be about you or Mark.
Listen. It's International Women's Day today. So yeah, I expect you both to be extra nice to me today.
I just wanted to say,
I mean, not really, but...
Can I just say, if we're being truly equal, that means I can be as equally rude to you then as I am to Mark. Talking about that guy, I actually have breaking news. After extensive conversations with Junior and Mark's agent, we have actually come to the difficult decision to terminate Mark from his contract. I should say the gentleman formerly known as Mark, because we now own his name. So, yeah, that Liverpool fan that comes every week, you won't be seeing him on this podcast anymore. We really appreciate his hard work and his biasness and his man of the week every week. So, but I think it's better if we move forward without him as well. So,
I did write that down.
Oh, yeah, I did. A couple notes on the train on the way here.
Instead of working, this is what he was doing. How are you, Tanya?
No, I'm good. As I said, International Women's Day today, and I just wanted to, you know, shout out all the amazing. there was circumstances today. That is why. But yeah, I just wanted to say happy International Women's Day to all the amazing women. Whether you're doing content or podcasting, whatever it is, I just think big up all the women. But apart from that, I'm good. I've just had a hectic day, but I'm looking forward to the pod. I just wish I could be there.
Absolutely. And just to echo your point, big up all the women who work in football, because I know it's not an easy place to work in, with all the sexism that still exists even in 2022.
Poetic, literally on the day after, or the day before International Women's Day, you got Laura Woods completely embarrassing Jamie O'Hara on Talk for every week. But I think that's just, I think her whole vibe when it comes to Jamie O'Hara is that, bruv, you support Tottenham, innit? So she ties him in knots every single week. It is quite funny to watch.
I saw that. I do rate Laura Woods. She's great. She's really good at what she does.
Junior loved her before, innit? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. I remember. But Jamie O'Hara is a bit of an idiot. He's got about two brain cells, and one of them is for like functioning normally, and the other one comes up with ideas, which is why none of his ideas are.
He's the visual embodiment of a pack of fags.
All right. Enough with the nonsense. Let's kick off, because we still got a lot to talk about today. Let's start with the Manchester Derby.
You love to see it.
Especially because Abdi's boy decided to shine bright
Who's my boy? Oh, KDB?
Yeah, KDB.
KDB.
Well, I have messages in here from you saying I've always rated him.
Yeah, because let me just say this right now, yeah? I know we spoke about it before about how we dislike Man City and everything like that.
Yeah.
I'm going back to what I originally thought. I don't have any Man City fans or a friend, whatever, you know what I mean? And I don't know any Man City fans, innit? So there's a disconnect. I hate Liverpool. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it because Mark is on this podcast. He's not here today, so he doesn't have to give me daggers and, you know, with the fear of giving it back to Arsenal or anything. But historically, I've hated Liverpool. And same way I hate Tottenham, I hate Man United, and I hate Chelsea.
But why do you hate Liverpool? Just a question. Like, why do you hate Liverpool?
Firstly, I know too many Liverpool fans. Secondly, historically, growing up, 2001 FA Cup final, the 2008 Champions League, and just the fact that they beat us all the time recently as well.
So I
knew too many Liverpool fans growing up, so I hate Liverpool. Mm. I'm not going to lie about the fact that just because Mark is here, that I should like Liverpool.
So what you're saying is that you've been lying for the last 3 years.
No, I haven't been lying. Because the thing is, Liverpool, I can't deny the fact that they're a quality team, quality manager, loads of really good players. But I can't pretend like I hate Man City. There's a disconnect. I don't like Pep.
I don't like Pep.
Don't like KDB.
Obviously, I don't like KDB. And then just generally as well, like the way Man City have done over Chelsea as well, in the same way. Like, but they just come in with money.
Would you admit that Bernardo Silva is a scumbag?
Oh, no, I don't dislike Bernardo Silva. not as much as you and flipping Mark. Wants to kill Bernardo Silva this season, man.
No, but you came here after the Arsenal game, the Man City Arsenal
game. Yeah, I was a heightened emotion, innit?
No, but...
At that time.
Yeah, but...
I hate Man City when we're playing them that time.
But I think it's justified.
But, yeah, it's true. I get it. You can dislike Man City if you want as well. And you probably like Liverpool more than you dislike Man City. You like Man City, right?
Well, I prefer...
You prefer Liverpool?
Yeah, I prefer Liverpool, yeah.
But, like, I watch... Yeah. And also, aside from just my personal feelings, I enjoy watching Man City play football more than I enjoy Liverpool. I think Liverpool have better individuals, like, that I enjoy, like Trent and Diaz.
Salah.
And, yeah, sometimes I like Salah, but...
You don't like Salah?
No, of course, Salah's a quality player, and obviously Mane as well. Those guys, and I like watching Van Dijk just as a composure. I like the individuals better, and I like Klopp better as a person than Guardiola. But, I mean... Man City, the way they obviously keep the ball all the time, the triangles, the way they just can absolutely pam you to death, like just suffocation football. I enjoy like Man City's play.
But do you like how they got there?
Well, the same way. I don't like the way Chelsea got there.
But you don't like Chelsea.
No, but I just want to understand because, like, obviously...
the thing is...
We've gone from Abdi liking Man City to hating Man City to now Man City...
I never said I hated Man City, the team.
After the Arsenal game and then obviously with the conversation that we're not trying to convince Tans, but we were...
You was against me, actually, when I was playing.
That's the thing. I said I dislike Man City in the owners and pumping money and Guardiola and that stuff. That still stands. But I hate Liverpool as a club more than I hate Man City. Okay. The same way, the thing is, we can talk about how Man City got there all the time, but like so many clubs have foreign owners that are Americans as well, but people don't criticize them.
Yeah, but...
And we can't sit here and praise Newcastle every time they play. It's been exactly the same situation.
Wait. I think it's a bit different.
No, City, it's the same.
City are owned by a country. I don't think...
have a bad history.
Sorry?
Newcastle owners, I've heard a lot of stuff about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I know, but so far, the disconnect here, I think, is like, we're not praising Newcastle for much, really. We've talked about them for the last 2 weeks where we've podded.
It's exactly the same situation in Man City when they first got the money, though.
No,
Man City didn't just
relegation.
Go money.
No, but they weren't relegation fodder.
They were mid-table. They were bottom, bottom table team. Lower.
Yeah, but
Newcastle's the same.
No, but they've been relegation fodder. They've
been relegated twice.
Yeah, but where were they at the start of the season? Up until December?
I think it's a similar situation.
They were bottom three.
Yeah, but I mean,
as well, categorically said that you couldn't see Newcastle surviving.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Yeah, so I think it's different. We're not praising Newcastle going, oh my God, they've done it in such a wonderful way. I mean, we might have praised the type of players that they've gone for overall, but I don't even know how this turned into a Newcastle.
I know, we were talking about the derby.
Let's go back to the derby. A serious question here, Abdi and Tanya. Did either of you have any semblance of hope for Man United?
Well, I don't have any hope for Man United, but no, I mean,
but in this game, because it's a derby.
Yeah, I think you do have to remember form goes out the window, as I said. Also, I actually think Man United do typically cause City a little bit of issue, a little bit of problem. So I was kind of thinking, oh, could Man United do it? But, I mean, we watched the game, didn't we?
Yeah, what was the results of the derby last season?
Man United won both of them.
And they beat them. No, they beat them, didn't they?
No, it was the year before. Do you remember when McTominay scored from like 40 yards? That was the year before because there was a crowd. Last year, there was no crowds.
I think Man United beat them.
Old Trafford or their ground?
I don't remember. Like Tanya was saying, Man United, they've had good results against Man City as of late. So, and you know, Pep, he's always capable of like overthinking it and then going back to his Fraudiola antics in like the way he lost to Tottenham a couple of weeks ago.
So, Man City lost to Man United 2-0 in March, so at the back end of last season.
Who scored?
I'll tell you that now.
I don't remember.
But Bruno Fernandes penalty and Luke Shaw.
Of course, it was a penalty.
I don't remember that at all.
That's it.
Yes, I remember. Yeah. Okay, I remember now. You just showed me the picture. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. And then, so like you said, form goes out of the window. And then Man United have had the better of, especially games at the Etihad recently.
And then the game before was
0-0. Yeah. I remember we had the conversation about John Stones and Maguire hugging, and Mark was losing his mind.
Oh yeah.
Mark turned into Souness that day. No, but Man City, at no point did I really think Man City were going to lose that game. Firstly, you got the crowd back. So obviously, you got the home advantage back. On top of that, Man United, the way they've been playing this season, they're really giving up a lot of chances, especially early on. They're all conceding the first goal quite a lot. And then you watch just the way Man City are playing as well. Obviously, Man City have had a good season on the attacking front. You know, although they did have a bit of a hiccup last couple games, there's always the thought that Man United could turn them over and then it could just be like a freak result. But obviously you looked at the lineup as well, lots of changes. No Varane, no
your boy Ronaldo.
But that's a good thing, obviously. There's no Ronaldo. And then the way Man United set up, it was almost asking for trouble. I get it, in this kind of games you want to probably think you're gonna press them, but who's the most press resistant team in the flipping world? So if you got idiots like McFred who aimlessly press, and then Man City are the best passers in flipping universe, and you got McTominay is an absolute joke. He's an unbelievably shit footballer. Like, tell me one.
I think you're harsh on McTominay.
Tanya, hang up on her, bro. No, listen, McTominay. Tell me one footballing quality that he has.
He's not a bad finisher, to be fair. I mean,
finisher? He's got one goal this season. What are you talking about?
You know, he used to play up front.
Exactly. 21. He's such a good footballer. They play him as a DM. He's such a good finisher, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, play at the back.
No. I think you're no, no, over no, no, the no, top no. with T- your
Tell me one on the ball quality that he has. I'm waiting. Tell me one on the ball quality that he has.
Well, if he's passing sideways or backwards,
that's not a quality. Sideways or backwards for centre midfielder.
Yeah, well, he's keeping possession.
Nah, bruv.
I'm trying to.
No. He's about as useful as a ball boy. A ball boy does that. Gets the ball from the outside and passes it to a Man United. The guy is utterly useless. The way he in this game, I know a lot of players played badly, which we'll get onto. What did she say?
She said he's better than Harry Winks.
I thought she said bad B. And no, he's not better than Harry Winks. Because Harry Winks... he's not.
Are you serious?
No, he's definitely better than Harry Winks.
No. McTominay, he needs to be put on a leash. Because that guy, the amount of times Man City would have the ball and then almost it's like comically how much they would draw him in and he'd go aimlessly pressing. Firstly, it's completely irresponsible for the team. Because if you aimlessly press and you're thinking, oh, I'm an all action type midfielder and I've got all this energy, you leave the centre backs exposed.
But isn't that United's problem since before Rangnick? Before
and who's consistent with that problem? McTominay's there. That's why
they all press aimlessly. Like I've seen clips where, for example, the front three, one of them will go, the other two won't even bother.
It's unbelievable. Like, and what I noticed about in this game as well is I feel like Man United's fullbacks and Man United's wingers, they actually must hate each other. They must be in like a permanent argument because it's ridiculous. Like, firstly, you know, just generally, like the amount of times Grealish would get the ball and then Cancelo is always available on the underlap, on the overlap. You watch Arsenal game as well. I'll get onto it in a second. But Saka, how many times did Cedric overlap him? Like, it's just, and that's what people do. You're meant to do that. If you're a winger who cuts inside, your fullback's meant to overlap. Telles is absolute carnage, bro. Like, that guy, firstly, that's why I say the reason I think they hate each other is because there's never any overlap.
You can't double up.
I think it's just a personnel issue, I think, personally.
Really? You don't think... But you don't think any of their fullbacks thinks, you know, I'm not overlapped the winger. You don't think that comes from the management?
No, because it's happened on Ollie. And I think just generally, that's the way they play. Like, I mean, those footballers are like that as well. And so, like, at all times, Man United can never get a double 2-on-1. You've got Sancho, who's on one side. And Sancho's not a Saint-Maximin who's going to go on the byline, or Zaha, or anything who's going to take on someone 1v1. He wants to come inside and do combinations. So it obviously makes sense if there's a fullback on the outside of him, like he did with Hakimi in Dortmund. So Telles is on the halfway line trying to cross it from halfway like he's Trent. You're not Trent, bro. You're an expensive Paul Dummett. That's all he is, bro. He's utterly useless. Wan-Bissaka,
he's a troll.
Oh my God, you see that clip of Foden like pissing.
That is embarrassing. You know? Foden.
Foden's the one here. How did he get pushed by a ferret?
Nah, Foden. You see that clip of Foden his mum getting punched?
No.
He went gym after, I know. He must have. He must have gone gym, innit?
No, but I think it just shows, like, when you're low in confidence, like, stuff like that happens, that Foden, when would you think Foden's going to barge
that was crazy,
back into Old Trafford? Like, you wouldn't imagine something
on
like
Match of the Day, they highlighted it, and he gained 15 yards on Wan-Bissaka for winning that ball. So obviously it was someone who played a loose pass, and it is actually farcical how bad Maguire is at this point, you know. Generally in this game, I thought, all right, he's heading away a few balls. He's not doing too bad. And then I didn't see that part. I think because all I saw
was what a block.
Yeah, because he made a good block from Bernardo Silva's shot.
Yeah, but
that is the worst piece of defending I've ever seen in my life.
I don't
life.
Know what he's thinking. I think, is he thinking like, oh, if the ball hits me, it's going to go back towards my own goal. But like, I don't know what is going through his mind.
The most basic thing you could do is just put it out for a corner. Yeah. Everyone in the world would do that.
He dummies it and then it gets played back into De Bruyne.
It's like, 2-1. You know, you're bad at football. You're bad. It's, imagine being horrible at FIFA and then you just put it up to like super, super hard settings. And that's what Maguire does every single time. He's like, why do you make it so much more difficult for yourself? Maguire could have the best game in the world, but there's always a catastrophic error. He's like Mustafi, honestly. It's like watching Mustafi.
Yeah.
And then, but the thing is, he's Man United's captain. He's 80, the most expensive defender of all time. And it's
the
just,
shirt's too big for him, man. It's too big for him.
No, I just think at Leicester, like Tanya, I think at Leicester, he was kind of guarded by the fact that Leicester don't defend on the halfway line. Yeah. Man United are always pushing up, expected to play out with a ball. And then you're exposed in those situations, especially 1v1. Like, we thought, oh, okay, you might have been able to defend the bye by saying, oh, you know, he's a good defender at least. Like, he can defend, but he can't even defend 1v1.
It's
he's
crazy.
Just a shamble.
Paul Merson was right, boy. Paul Merson was right.
I was right. I said it before Paul Merson.
Can I just say, it's completely invalidated by the fact that you put him in top five. So, like, same with me.
Already apologised.
The thing is, same with me, like, I can't claim, obviously Tielemans is playing really badly right now. And I can't go back to my Tielemans agenda because I've apologised to him on here. So it's the same thing. Like, you, Mark as well, he can't chat about Maguire or anything because he said it about the same thing. No, all of you guys put him in top five.
No, but you can acknowledge your mistake and then move on.
But you can't claim you said it first time round.
No, but I did say it first time round.
But it's invalidated, but you put him in top five.
No, but at the time when we were doing the top five, he
was not in top five, I'm telling you. That's what I said completely. No, he's not in it.
Yeah, I know, but...
You put him ahead of Rudiger or Thiago Silva, one of those two.
No, not Thiago Silva.
Okay, Rudiger.
No, we did not.
You did. You put Wan-Bissaka in your top five, so you can allow it, bro.
Nah, listen, the Wan-Bissaka one haunts me, man. I can't believe
that. No, I compared Wan-Bissaka.
You know how you always bring up Maguire? Bless Tanya, she always brings up.
I'm sorry.
She's like, why did I think Aaron Wan-Bissaka was good?
I know. I
know why they played him in this game, because they expected Sterling to play.
Yeah.
Guardiola was like, nope. But even then, if Sterling were played, he probably would have ended his duck against Man United. He would have scored. But is it Man United he doesn't score against, or Liverpool? Liverpool. Oh, Liverpool. Okay, cool. But yeah,
let's talk about Mahrez, because
can we talk about one more Man United player?
All right, go on.
Can we talk about one more Man United player?
Bruno.
This rat.
He's a rat. I'm with you. He's a rat.
Have you ever watched? You watched it, Junior, but you know, You know, Worst Roommate Ever on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, for the listeners, there's an episode where there's a guy who, I don't want to give him too much spoilers, but there's a guy.
He's a serial hoarder.
He's a squatter. So he comes to someone's house. Sorry. He comes to someone's house and refuses to pay rent. And then when they say where the rent, he goes, "Oh no, I'm not paying. I don't have to do anything."
This is my house now.
That's the energy that Bruno comes with.
That's what he said. This is my house now.
Yeah, he thinks the guy he plays, and it's such a chaotic style of play. Obviously, they played in false nine in this position, but it's more freedom. He plays with freedom as a number 10.
But he's not a striker, though.
But still, it's more freedom. He plays like that from the 10 position.
Yeah, but you're judging it against the best team, like air quotes, best team in the league.
Okay, cool. That's true. But when you do get the ball, playing rocket launcher ball every single time. It's not
and on Bruno, I'm sorry, I'm yet to see him turn up for a big game. I'm sorry, he doesn't turn up ever.
That's true.
It's true.
Any Man United fan, he needs to step up, man, in these big games. So carry on.
But I think like none of them have stepped up all season. But you know, obviously they beat Arsenal, but Arsenal just lost to Everton. So I think it's just like
that would beat us as well. But we have Nuno Tak.
So I just think like, Tanya's completely right. He doesn't turn up to big games, and it's just like, but none of them do.
That's
like,
true.
This is when you're talking about, like, you've got a World Cup winner at the back. He's had a hard season. Your captain's 80 million, but he's a lunatic. You got Bruno Fernandes. You got Cristiano Ronaldo. Obviously, Sancho is starting to look good now. He's starting to...
That's a quality goal.
Yeah.
But, like, your main players, like Rashford, you know... They're not performing.
Rashford,
and they
I'm
disappeared
sorry.
During, like, Pogba. I feel kind of sorry for Pogba.
I feel very sorry. Get him out, mate.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Pogba.
He always gets taken off
me.
Early as well. Like, I don't get it. Like, oh, so you think McTominay is playing better than Pogba?
Exactly. You think Bruno is playing better than me? The way Pogba looked at Ragnick, he should have just said, "Are you flipping dumb, bro? Do you want me to slap you in your head, bro? Why are you taking me off? And look at this guy at the back, this Scottish fool."
So it doesn't make sense. Like, I would even risk playing Pogba alongside Fred than taking him off, because like, he's the best player on the ball.
Exactly.
By far the best.
Especially with a team of Man City, you're going to pam you to death with the passing. Every time you do get the ball, you need to keep it for some point.
Pogba's that guy.
And you've got Bruno, Fred and McTominay in the midfield. Well, I mean, those three people who don't really have any care for the ball. I mean, Bruno has no regard for possession, bro. That guy, he aims for a 70% possession stat as a midfielder. It's ridiculous. Like, I just watch it. And then I've recently, especially watching these games with teams playing so incompetently, like Leeds and Everton yesterday, I have no, even as I hate them, I'm enjoying them losing, but I have no regard for complete incompetence the way Bruno and McTominay and Maguire, pretty much 50% of their team. David De Gea is the worst kicker of the ball I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. That guy, he just kicks the ball and he just expects it to go to wherever it needs to go. Sometimes it will barely reach Wan-Bissaka, and then sometimes he'll blast it into the face of someone in the crowd. It's just like,
Let's talk about Mahrez, because again, we're talking about players who don't turn up at big games. Mahrez always turns up in a big game.
Love Mahrez, man. Mm-hmm.
He's so silky. And what a finish for the fourth goal.
He smashed it into De Gea's face, and he deserved it. Because De Gea, when he kicked that ball out, and he pulled up and he hurt himself, put Man United under pressure. Gundogan, if you watch Gundogan and McTominay then, you would think McTominay is 15 years older than Gundogan, Skips past him, beautiful ball in behind you. And then Mahrez, no hesitation, smashes it in your face, bruv.
And then obviously it was a half volley for the third goal.
For the goal, deflected off Maguire. But like Mahrez, he's the reason I feel like he should be playing all the time, because sometimes he'll be in and out of games. Like the first half, he wasn't that. Yeah. But then he got the ball at one. His first touch is perfect.
Immaculate.
Most of the time, you can ping it from 50 yards and you know he's going to control it first time. Yeah. And then he cuts inside and he approaches it and he smashes it like bottom corner. It was going towards the bottom corner. De Gea made a good save. But then Mahrez has got that. He's got that flip in the thing that he can impact the game. You know, I didn't realize he's got 10 goals this season in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Which is
no way, 10.
Yeah. So I love watching Mahrez. For me, he always starts for Man City.
So we've got viewers' question here. Yeah. So ooh. I'm gonna say it to you both and then we can discuss. Looking at at looking at the Manchester derby overall over the years, has United now become City's whipping boys? Yes. Is Manchester light blue now?
Absolutely. That's not even a question. Yeah. 100%. Man United haven't even won a trophy now. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this. I'm the first fan. But they haven't won a trophy now in how long? Like 5 years?
Coming up to 5 years.
And Man City has been winning Premier League, League Cup, whatever cup. So
it's kind of like the Chelsea and Arsenal thing. We were always laughing at Chelsea. They were a joke. And then they've been... I think it must be 15 years consecutively they've been in the final. It's ridiculous. Chelsea, the amount of final. Chelsea fans, I've got like a season to get at Wembley. It's such a joke. Of course. Are
Bigger than Man United?
No, definitely not. There's a difference between bigger club and better team.
Of course, yeah. So going back to our conversation last time out, what would it take? Are we talking about solely numbers in terms of like how many trophies you've won historically? Or are we talking about a sustained period at the top? How do you become bigger?
Man United dominated this country for the best part of 20 years because of Ferguson. I think Man City, I wouldn't say they completely dominate. You've still got Liverpool and Chelsea in the mix, who we've been collecting trophies as well. So I think Man City need a longer period of dominance, which is scary because Guardiola wants to build a dynasty, so it could possibly happen. But Man City, I think the thing is, what helps Man United's favour is when Man United were dominant, there weren't as much competition as there is now.
Yeah.
So back then, they would have Arsenal, just Arsenal
and Blackburn,
or every now and then Newcastle. So especially like 4 or 5 years in a row where they didn't have much competition as it is. So, but obviously they need a longer sustained period at the top, collecting trophies. I do think they need a Champions League to cement it all.
So are Arsenal bigger than Chelsea, or are Chelsea bigger than Arsenal?
As a club, so it's different. It's difficult because if you look at like just the stuff outside of footballing, so we've got a much bigger fan base than Chelsea, international, global fan base.
We've got more trophies.
We've got historically more trophies, although they're catching up.
Yeah.
But so I mean,
are Arsenal bigger than Chelsea, or Chelsea bigger?
I think we're a bigger club.
But you know the trophies argument though, because Chelsea have that European, like they've got European trophies. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that kind of cancels it out? In some ways,
because it's a fair point. It's fair, and they're world champions as well. It's a fair point, but I mean, it's a difficult one. It honestly is a difficult one because I still think like if I don't mean to be super disrespectful to you, Tanner, although I do want to be, but I mean, if we turned into Tottenham and not won anything in the time that Chelsea are collecting all these trophies, then you can say that. But still, we've like been in the Champions League. We've been, well, not recently, but I mean, within that time, the Chelsea's dominant. We've sort of like, we've won some trophies. We haven't completely been like in the same way Man City have done to Man United in the last 5 years. And also, we beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final regularly, you know. So, but still, it's a fair point. I mean, put that out as like a question for the listeners, see who's a bigger club.
Right, we'll that'll be interesting.
We'll do that poll tomorrow. Is Arsenal...
just who's a bigger club, Arsenal, Chelsea?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And then we'll do the Manchester one as well.
And also, just going back on the Manchester derby, that was Grealish's best performance.
It's about time.
Very good at that.
Yeah, 100 million.
Yeah, it is about time. I forgot about him, my babe.
Okay. Wait, let's play it.
That was for you, Tans. I missed that sound. I love it.
All right. Let's move on to the first game of the weekend, which was Leicester versus Leeds. And it was Ted Lasso's first game in charge
of
Leeds.
Come on, guys.
I feel kind of bad because obviously we don't know much about him. I know that he managed the New York Red Bulls and he won a trophy in America.
He managed Salzburg
as well.
So when Haaland and them were there.
As well.
Yeah. So I think it was a Red Bull trade, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. There were obvious positives for Leeds right off the bat.
They didn't lose 6-0. So that's a good thing.
They didn't lose 6-0. The performance was much better. They created so many chances against Leicester. Mm-hmm. They should have scored. Rafinha should have scored.
Yeah. Bamford came back, didn't he, as well?
I don't remember, but
he was on the bench. Yeah,
finally, how long has he been out for?
He's been out all season, basically. So there are positives, but the major negative is that he didn't win.
Yeah, exactly. But true. I think the thing is, I heard that he was pissed off there was no fourth quarter. Come on, guys. We'll get him in the fourth quarter.
No, you're taking
your accent fell apart with the fourth quarter. Stop.
Yeah, but that was a quality goal from Harvey Barnes. And yeah, I'm going to say something now, yeah? Harvey Barnes is clear of Jared Bowen, in my opinion.
He's a lot younger as well.
Yeah.
I like Harvey Barnes. I like the way he plays. I like his intelligence on the ball. I like he's quite a selfish finisher, you know, in the fact that he doesn't, if he sees an opportunity to score, he will do it, even if there's an easy pass for him. And I like that about him. Like, people like Salah have got that.
But can we also say, like, just because you like, I'm not saying you, mm-hmm. but just in general, mm-hmm. can we stop the, oh, I like him, so this other person can't coexist in the same universe?
But I've got the hater gene in me.
No, I'm not talking about you. That's what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. for example, like, Harvey Barnes mm-hmm. is a quality footballer.
Yeah,
we can all see it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can also respect Jared Bowen. Like, it's
but
not
I've
like
been hearing... I've been hearing Bowen is better than Saka, so I've got an agenda against Bowen
oh
now.
Oh, God.
What the hell? Who said that? How long?
Open their dirty mouth to say Bowen is better than Saka. So I've got an agenda against him
yeah,
now.
But
sorry.
Did you see this Twitter?
Huh?
Did you see this on Twitter?
I heard a few West Ham fans. I've got an agenda against the whole of East London now.
There's been a whole... I mean, we'll speak about Arsenal, but there's been a whole debate about, like, who's the best young player in the Prem. I've seen a couple of polls. Mm. Of Saka being in conversations with Rice, Trent, and all of that, but
Rice.
Bowen, he's clear of Bowen.
Rice is a big man. Rice is like 30 now. I'm joking.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't get it.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll get to that in a second. On this game as well, like Leicester, they've improved their form recently. Beat Burnley midweek. They've got who they got.
Players are starting to come back, like for Leicester in the right positions. Them. Fofana signed a new contract.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's big for them.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. Like, they would have been massively disappointed when he got injured in pre-season.
Yeah.
But they'll have him for next season, back and fit, hopefully, for...
They've got Ren in the Conference League.
And so, yeah. So, like, it's not all bad. Obviously, it's not the season that they expected, because a lot of people might have said that they could have snuck into the Champions League place.
Very close to getting Champions League last season. They lost it on the final day.
But the same as the season before. But this season, arguably, is more open race that they should have been involved
yeah.
in.
Yeah, it's true.
So do you think that Leicester's downfall then is purely based on injury?
Well, I think it's a big hindrance on them, because they didn't have the biggest squad in the first place, but...
They've got an all-timer in terms of a bottling coach.
Yeah.
Like, he should be a Tottenham manager. And I'm not even being disrespectful. It's just
listen, we don't want him.
We don't need
another
bottle. I stopped having any affiliation towards Leicester after they bottled against Tottenham. That had me pissed off for 24 hours straight.
Yeah, it's like, it was
94. It was bruv. That's why, like, you know, we know when I gave him praise early in the season. That's why I was just like, I'm resetting. I'm going back to the original. I hate you. And Soyuncu as well. Nah, I can't deal with those guys. I'm doing it. Yeah. So no, because I left at 94 minutes with 2-1 up, and I came back, and then Tanny's going mad in the chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, man.
Antonio.
All this, yeah. Sending me. When I have to download the voice note from Tanya, and it says, and her just singing Antonio.
No, that was a mad game, though. Come on, man.
Yeah,
no, it was.
Yeah.
It's football, innit? It's football.
But do you think Leeds are going down?
Listen.
No.
If
Ted Lasso.
If Ted Lasso can recreate that performance, but obviously get them winning,
mm-hmm.
then it looks a lot better, because they looked more organised in that game than Everton do, or any of the bottom three do.
Why?
I just hate incompetence.
Everton.
So if like, hopefully Watford can get out of it. So Everton and Leeds go down.
But I just think, like, now Leeds have gone away from this archaic man-to-man marking.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, it's because they have good players.
Yeah.
I really like Harrison. I really like Rafinha. Obviously, Bamford's coming back.
Who'd you say? Really low?
Phillips as well. They have been
missing. I thought you said Housen. I was like, who's Housen?
No, Harrison.
Housen's the one who balled out against Tottenham the other week, isn't it?
Can we not?
35-year-old, yeah.
but I really like some of their players. So if they can just pull it together.
That being said, what if they can go down, we can get some of those. The one I want is Phillips.
Calvin,
I want Phillips as well.
Tanya, when you talk
about creative players, because you guys don't have much creative.
Yeah, you can get Adam Foreskin.
Anyway,
no, you know what you're talking about, the man to man marking. It reminded me of that clip. Do you remember when, you know, the one I make jokes about Man City when Pep's going, Gundo, Nico, Dino, yeah, Gundo, yeah. Dino, yeah. Gundo. And then when he says, he goes, he goes, pass, 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 because they jump and we're going behind. Where's the space in behind? That's exactly what Man United were doing at the weekend. I forgot to mention that. That's where Guardiola just played that clip. He's like, here, guys, watch this. Nico, Dino, he didn't say those names, but yeah. Imeric, John, João, Cancelo.
Imeric.
And also, Edison is better than all of Man United's midfielders.
Even Pogba.
No, he's not Man United midfielder any longer, is he?
Fair enough. All right. Aston Villa took on Southampton.
Wow.
So
yeah, this was a performance. I was impressed.
I feel like Aston Villa are a little bit Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Because for ages, they'll play poor. And then out of nothing, they'll play some lovely football.
Coutinho was absolute hooping, man. That was crazy.
So unbelievable.
Two assists and a goal.
Yeah, he's got... he got the assist for... Didn't he get the assist?
Louise's
goal
and
Ings,
Ollie.
I think.
Oh, was it?
Watkins, yeah.
Yeah, Watkins.
But looking at their team, I'm just like, wow. Like, it is stacked. There's lots of good players. McGinn, Louise, Coutinho,
but it's
Ramsey,
how they fit them together.
Ings, Watkins. Leon Bailey's barely played for the last couple of months. Or this whole season, really, to
be
honest.
Would you say, Tans?
No, I was just saying I love Villa, innit? That's my second team.
But that's the thing. It's like, I think Gerrard's headache here is Tyrone Mings at the top of the list, but how do you get all of these players gelled and playing together? Because when they do turn it on, like against Southampton, they play some fantastic football.
Yeah.
But when they don't, and they went on that like 4 or 5 game run where they just lost every game, mm-hmm. it's like they're awful.
Yeah.
It's like they're either really good or really bad. No. I'm not, please. Yeah. I'm not blaming Gerrard.
No, I'm not saying that you are, but I'm just saying, like, talking about how he can get them gelling. I just think that will come with time, you know? Yeah. I think he's doing a good job so far.
Tanya's saying Villa are going to win the league next season.
Listen, they might. You never know. I do think...
You know we're going to use this clip now to guide you all of next season when they're in the bottom.
don't put words into my mouth. I'm not saying they're going to win the league.
You'll be singing Stevie G, Stevie G, Stevie G voice notes all the time.
I do think a preseason will do good, but yeah, like,
do you think
Villa can sign Coutinho on a permanent? I think Gerrard will be begging his board to do anything to sign him.
Well, without Gerrard, he wouldn't. So,
but obviously, it's on loan, and his wages are mad. So, like, how do you convince?
Barcelona will definitely want to be rid of him. You never know.
Yeah, I know, but we're still talking about
the
mad
other
wages.
Clubs might be interested, yeah, because his wages, and also he is playing really well at the moment. He might get other suitors from other clubs.
Yeah, but I'm hearing like people want to, like, his price is about 30 mil now.
Who?
It's like, Coutinho, yeah. So like,
well, he is 30.
It's a big.
He?
It's a big. What is beeping, bro?
Sorry, someone's calling me.
Hang on with him, bruv.
I can't.
Reject the call.
If I can't, because I'm on the phone with Tanya.
Oh, it's a bit, yeah, okay, cool. But Coutinho, I think the best chance he would have is if the price is 30 million.
What?
Then it's Villa. So if the price is 30 million, then Villa will, I think they'll pay it, even though it's a massive drop off from what he went for. But obviously, he's not the same player, is he? So,
but I still think it's.
If not, I'm taking him at Spurs. I'm taking him, but we won't pay his wages either.
Well,
how much does he want a week?
No, he's at 250 at Barca.
Yeah, what 250?
Yeah,
okay, well, 250. Yeah, well, he's gonna have to take a drop off, isn't it?
Yeah, but.
Yeah,
you know, like he could go China.
He's not gonna go to China, bruv. China ain't pay. China got a salary cap, don't it?
Yeah.
But like, who's gonna
Saudi?
Like, he's gonna have to accept it that the money
down Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, okay, good. Do that then. Yeah, we'll hear for you the next 5 years.
He can join Mateus Pereira,
or he can go Newcastle, innit? You never know.
There you go. Yeah, fair enough.
Oh God.
Oh yeah, they were linked with him, innit? Like, yeah, he probably thought they were going down.
Nah, the reason. Like, the guy played for his last three clubs are Man City.
His last three clubs are screwing you hard.
His last three clubs are Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and Liverpool. The guy is now at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
So the only reason he's there is because of Gerrard. So he wants to play with ex-teammate. So Gerrard's going to do a lot of...
Him, you know?
I think Gerrard, he's enjoying him now. He's enjoying playing at Aston Villa right now. It looks like it.
Yeah,
he's scoring goals.
I think he's a Premier League player.
Yeah, I guess so, but it's probably his best opportunity. It's the same as Trippier going to Newcastle, isn't it? It's more of a other factors other than football and reasons is the reason he's there, you know?
Taken
into account.
Well,
the
Trippier
fact that
might have liked the plan, no?
Well, I guess Aston Villa probably sold him a project. You know, you're playing under Gerrard now. Bro. We've got good squad.
He's going to return to Barcelona.
I don't see. I can absolutely not. You see what they got in midfield now? Like they've got all these young guys.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, he regardless of what we think of him at Barcelona, he's going back to Barcelona.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, yeah, just empty his locker, innit?
Why would he go back to Barcelona?
Because they own him.
He's probably still got his stuff there, Tanya.
Oh yeah,
it's his club.
He's probably got a house there that he needs to empty. You know,
I just don't know how feasible it is for Villa to actually permanently sign him.
Villa are
they'd
not,
have to break their wage structure for him.
They've got money though.
No, he would have. The thing is, he's not going to. He knows that the money he's getting at Barcelona is not normal money.
Okay, his form now. Mm-hmm. Do you think someone else will try to sign him, a bigger club?
I don't. Yeah, but the thing is. How many more? One, who's going to want him?
Spurs.
In the Premier League?
We're just talking about...
We wanted him.
He's not a Conte-type player.
I know he's not a Conte-type player, but Spurs desperately need a creative midfielder.
Who knows? Spurs might have other priorities with different players. A younger profile, maybe. Although Conte doesn't really like young players anyway, so...
So, I don't know.
We'll see. But I think for him, if he can secure that permanent move... Because he's been on the move last couple of years, isn't it? So if he can permanent move at Aston Villa, you're 29. Aston Villa will probably, if they break their wage structure, they'll probably give him 150
last
maybe.
Last big move?
Yes.
Because World Cup in December.
Exactly, yeah. But the thing is, he's always going to get picked, isn't it? And he's there with his boy, isn't it? Douglas Luiz. You know, there's
others. I was going to say Gerrard.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Let's move on.
Danny Ings is an ex-teammate as well, so he's got mates there.
Burnley versus Chelsea.
This was just the second half game. The first half was a complete write-off.
Some golden chances in the first half. McNeil, I just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
I love McNeil, though. Yeah, don't be like that.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a quality player, but you can't miss that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to punch him in the face, yeah.
No, sorry. It's just because I don't like Chelsea.
I missed that one.
little McNeil, you know.
McNeil, I want to punch him in the face.
He's probably taller than me.
Why do you want to punch him in the face? Oh, he missed the chance.
Against Chelsea.
So that's enough to punch him in the face.
That would have changed the whole game. Anyway.
Can I just say, this season, and I don't care what Mark says, I know he's probably, in spirit, he's probably looking at me right now. Thiago Silva is the best defender in the Premier League this season. That guy is outrageously good. In the first half, he pretty much what kept them in there. Like, there was a couple of opportunities where Burnley had gotten behind, and then it looked like there was one pass. If they made that pass, they probably would have scored. Thiago Silva's there. It's not a coincidence that this guy is always there. He's 37-year-old and he plays like he's 25. He's he's a fantastic defender. And this season, I can't see a defender who's been better than him in the Premier League this season. I know Mark would be like, oh, Van Dijk. No.
I don't think that sounds like Mark.
I should be so unfair to him. I'm sorry, Mark.
Mark might even agree with you.
Yeah, yeah, but...
Yeah, I think he might agree with you.
I'd say Rudiger's up there as well. Those two are just fantastic
Speaking
defenders.
Of Rudiger, Christensen is so close to signing a contract with Barcelona. Rudiger still hasn't signed a new contract with Chelsea. Could we see these two?
I heard they're getting that sorted. I think Rudiger will not.
If Christensen is going, I think they're going to back out the... Because this is a big period of transition for Chelsea now, isn't it? They're literally... Who knows who's going to be their next owner? What's going to happen? Yeah. We all pray liquidation is coming soon. But we never know. We hope, you know, they can get rid of the best players, Thiago Silva, Kante, Reece James... Those are the best players at Chelsea and Mendy, all of those guys. If they can all eventually leave in the next couple of years and then they bring in the likes of, I don't know, Eric Dier and Tyra Mings and all these nonsense.
Yeah, please.
Let's because obviously we didn't pod last week because of the train strikes. So we didn't get to talk about the big news.
Oh, yeah.
So Roman Abramovich, obviously everyone knows by now, has said he's going to sell Chelsea because of the... conflicts in Ukraine and Russia, blah blah blah. What do we think? Like, obviously Chelsea are self-sustainable right now because they haven't been using his money for a while. So the overreaction on Twitter about from other fans is over the top.
Chelsea, they're going to go into administration,
or they're going to go back to what they were before. No. What they were before was qualifying for Champions League. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't.
People need to relax. And honestly, literally, one bit of news has sent people into meltdown. I can sum it up in three words: rest in piss. So I will say though, obviously You know, I bathe in the blood of my enemies.
Oh my
so
god!
So watching, you know, Chelsea
You're
fans.
You're a disturbed
feel,
guy.
I am. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you knew how much blood makes me squirmish, you know that means nothing in it. So, but just generally, watching Abramovich over the last couple of years, obviously we've taken a big hit as a consequence of his dominance.
Yeah.
From a purely footballing perspective, he's the best owner in football by far. Because he'll bring someone in and it's on you if you fail. He's obviously, he's got no patience, but it's on you if you fail because you have no reason to fail. He'll give you as much money you want. He'll give you a little bit of time. And the thing is, from a footballing perspective, he's a winner. Like, he's been dying for a Champions League. He's got Chelsea Football Club, what I grew up with, yeah. It's maximum fifth place growing up with Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
To two-time Champions League winners, multiple league titles.
World champions.
He's turned them into like a super, super club, innit? So from a footballing perspective, yeah. But from a human perspective, the guy, there's no reason this guy should be an owner of a football club.
Do you read into the fact that his statement didn't say anything about
Russia? No, he wasn't going to say it.
Condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Oh, he's
Putin
obviously
would
friends
have,
with
Putin. Would have helicoptered down onto his yacht and said, "Say that again." Allegedly, we don't want any problems, do we? Yeah. We don't. This podcast is not political.
I think it was poor
from his perspective. He's never going to say it though. No, it's unrealistic.
I don't think it's unrealistic. I think. He then said afterwards that the money from the sale is going to go to charitable funds for the Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. I've seen loads of like Russian like millionaires and stuff condemn what's happening in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I think it's not out of the way for you to say, I know you're friends with Putin, but say that what's happening to the Ukrainian people is not good.
Yeah.
I think that is like minimal. I don't think it's like outrageous to say that.
Yeah.
If you're bullying if you're my mate, if you're bullying someone, I'm not going to go, "Oh, Abdi, you're doing a good job."
It depends on who I'm bullying.
Whoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Depends who I'm bullying.
What if it's Mark?
I like Mark.
Okay, yeah, he's actually a friend. Sorry, I made no sense. What if it was McTominay?
I'd probably laugh at that. Exactly, I'd say it's unfair.
We do not condemn, we condemn bullying, yeah?
No, we do not condemn bullying.
I said we condemn bullying, not condone,
bro.
Bro.
Okay, we do.
Delete all of that last section of the podcast, bro.
I'm highlighting you, boy.
Just on that point as well, though, like if he's going to sell it, and they're obviously going to sell it to a really, really rich person who's a billionaire as well.
$3 billion, they said.
The only issue is what they're worried about is the fact that the next owner might not be as much of a winner that Roman
or
is.
Or he might not care.
Exactly. It could just be like another business for him, innit? So... It would be interesting
to see. Daniel Levy, please, Lord. Please let them get
the thing
Daniel
is,
Levy.
Is like Daniel Levy kind of cares, but like.
Cut! Junior, do not make my blood boil.
No, like, he got you a new stadium. Cool. He's the owner that saw you in the Champions League final. Anyway.
Oh, he's amazing. Oh, wow, Daniel Levy.
I never said he's.
Right,
okay, wow.
Okay, Daniel's so rude, man. Job, did you?
No.
No, but.
Daniel Levy built that stadium for boxing and NFL opportunities as well.
All right, okay.
We've got Lady Gaga concert in a couple of months.
Are you going?
No way. Is it happening at halftime?
Are you going? Are you going?
Harry Kane is going to be special guest, isn't it?
Can you get Lady Gaga on this podcast? All right, we have massively digressed. Okay, let's move on to Newcastle versus Brighton. So the resurgence continues.
Just quickly, Reece James, you have to give some shout out to him.
I mean, we always shout him.
He's fantastic, isn't he, man?
Lukaku didn't play, right?
No. Havertz is balling out, lady, man. Havertz.
Yeah, Havertz. I have to say, he is balling out.
And he absolutely killed Liverpool in the final.
Did you see his second goal? It's like he almost tried to miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, how do I miss this? And then he still scored.
Shout out Lukaku, innit? As a tribute.
All right, Newcastle's resurgence continues and they're safe. In my opinion, they're safe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Why'd you put 2-1 Brighton? 2-1 Newcastle.
They did win 2-1.
No, Brighton didn't score.
They did score.
Who scored?
But it was 2-1, no?
It was 2-0.
No, it wasn't. I'll get it out right now.
Go on, then.
It was 2-1. Okay, cool. Talk amongst yourselves, yeah? But if I'm right... If I'm right, Junior, you know you're going to have to hold it.
Bro, it's 2-0, bro.
It was 2-1.
Oh, it's 2-1.
2-1, there you go.
Dunk. I missed that goal.
I was about to ride out for you, Junior.
I missed that goal.
Live on air, can you kiss my ring finger?
No.
Okay.
How would they know?
Dad, you just kiss my ring finger.
What is going on over there?
Madness. All right, so Newcastle, they keep winning.
I think the biggest thing is their defensively, the improvement.
Oh, so you're about to praise Eddie Howe's defensive?
Yeah, I am.
Oh,
I am.
Wow.
I have a suggestion though for Newcastle in the way they can progress. Because right now Eddie Howe, he's doing his job. He's going to stay there for a while, but it's very clear he's almost like the Mark Hughes of this project. So same way Mark Hughes came when he was at Man City when they first got the money, he was just holding that seat for Mancini, innit?
Or no, but a better manager. Eddie Howe. Howe is a more attacking manager than Mark Hughes.
You know, it's not about the style of play. It's just the fact that you're a lesser manager. He might be a better manager. It's not about that. It's just if these owners, if they get a different manager, if they can get a better manager than Eddie Howe, they will do. Eddie Howe.
But
is
who
just,
are they going to get though? Who's out there?
I've got a suggestion.
Frank Lampard.
No. I don't think he's going to get any jobs after what we saw last night. Yeah. But Tanya, don't react badly. But Conte, and the reason I say that is because.
Don't
Conte
say that.
weekly he's complaints. He's doing F64 bitch sessions, yeah, about how these players every week, you know, acting like a bitch.
Conte is a soap opera.
Sorry, he would have
yeah. One week he's like, these are the best players I've ever managed.
Exactly.
The next week
you
he's like, these
relax.
Are the worst players I've ever
know.
Seen.
It takes one loss for him to say that, you know. And,
he loves a bit of drama
and historically, yeah, Conte, he's always fighting with the owners. He's very unreasonable when it comes to that. If he starts piping up against these Saudi owners, yeah, he'll be in a Saudi prison by noon. Bro.
Allegedly,
innit? They'll be like, what? I'm watching you. That lady, she's actually got beams that come out of her eyes, innit? I know she's not Saudi. She's English. Yeah. Bro, do you not think there's bodies buried in her back garden?
What has happened that
allegedly?
What has this woman done that she holds corn everywhere, like every?
I mean, all
right,
she's scary.
I know she's scary looking. But.
Have you watched the film The Thing? Yeah, she looks like something from that.
Allegedly.
Everything we say here is allegedly.
Yeah.
From the beginning of this podcast to now, allegedly. Yeah.
You can't prove any of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It will not stand up in court. But yeah, the reason I say Conte would be good for that is because Newcastle will have someone who's, you know, they love the passion. They love like whenever they had.
Yeah, but they're not in a position where, like, obviously you couldn't say why he had Spurs for that same reason, but. I still think Newcastle is a bit of a project. I think Conte won't want to leave Spurs.
Well, Spurs
currently
is
kind of a project, and then go to a Newcastle, which is an even bigger project. Why would he do that?
I was about
that's
to say, because
that's true, but I mean,
Spurs
obviously
is a project. No, I'm not taking this. Spurs is a project.
No, but
like,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Why would he?
I get it. But
why would
I mean,
he go to Newcastle?
Yeah, it's true. But going to Newcastle, I'm not saying right now. I'm saying eventually down the line when... Because obviously
fair.
Newcastle, their hope is to be winning Premier League titles within, I don't know, how many years? 5 years maybe?
Maybe.
Because they've got an endless amount of money.
Yeah.
And the rules are all skewed to the fact that now you can...
Just do whatever you want.
Drop a truck of a truckload of gold and anyone can spend amount of money you want. You can spend 500 million on a player in the next couple of years. You'll probably see that. And then that guy's got it. You know that guy, yeah? He bought a house for 310 million.
Wow.
And that's 10% of his earnings. So that kind of money is difficult. Is different, isn't it? So
with 10% of my earnings, do you know what I could buy?
Oh, no, a crunchy.
Fredo, bro.
He's like, we both thought of chocolates, isn't it?
All right. But they're safe.
Brighton
now.
Are on horrible form, man.
But they're safe.
Yeah, I think they're safe, yeah.
Yeah,
it's because all of the other teams behind them are rubbish as well, isn't it? And Newcastle unbeaten in 9 yeah. in the league. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is mad.
They're like fourth in the form league.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, in the last 10 games or something like that. Yeah, so it's crazy. It's obviously Joe Linton. We're seeing what he's doing now as well. He's got abundant energy. In the middle. I think eventually
Bruno can't even get in the team.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, Jonjo Shelvey's playing very well. But Jonjo Shelvey is the type of guy who it's a miracle. For example, sometimes if you've got one battery working in the remote and your remote is still working, that's Jonjo Shelvey. Eventually, the other battery's going to die, innit? So that's Jonjo Shelvey. He's fantastic, but the guy has no brain in it. So eventually, you know, I think Bruno will take over his team.
All right, okay.
And Willock is balling out as well, innit? But Brighton, My God, four losses in a row.
Yeah, they're now
what's going on with them?
Just above Newcastle.
Yeah, 13. They got sucked. They were like 3 points behind Tottenham 4 games ago.
Yeah.
Okay, Brentford have done a massive. I don't know where I was going with that. But
I don't know what your point is. I can't.
Brentford have helped themselves massively.
By beating Norwich,
because now they're. I think they've just made themselves safe.
Their early season form has sort of saved them. Innit?
Yeah, but I think that was massive. Like beating the teams around you is probably where you're gonna.
Mm-hmm. Norwich are done now.
Yeah, I think Norwich. I think that's the final
nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
They're just not
good enough. Definitely.
And bro, we got to revoke their membership to the Premier League, bro. If they want to come back again, people are already congratulating them on their championship title next season with 100 points. Pookie top scorer again. It's just like. Stop it and stop coming back unless you fix yourself up now, innit? Like, face front. It's not. I don't like watching.
I don't know why, but I just randomly went onto the championship table just because you just mentioned the champ. And you know, I think it was yesterday, I was telling Tans about Steve Bruce as West Brom. Do you know when he joined, they were second. Do you know where they are now?
11th, innit?
13th.
Like that. Mad.
No. But they didn't win at the weekend.
They're 13th.
Yeah.
Regardless if they won at the weekend, they were second.
No, how is he still in the job?
That can't all be down to Steve Bruce. That can't be down
bro,
to
Steve Bruce. Bro, who else is it down to?
Gritty Bruce.
It's down to Pep Guardiola. Who else is it down to? He's the one who came when they were second place and now they're 13th.
Yeah.
Seriously, I said that they had some major injury crisis. Like,
yeah, no, the only major crisis is that
Steve Bruce, yeah, with his big belly.
And his big nose.
And his big nose. His massive head.
All right, okay.
Just quickly, you know, we're talking about the relegation zone and all of these clubs like Burnley have a lot of game in hand on Brentford, for example.
Yeah.
Although like Brentford, they've done themselves a favour by actually getting some points. Like we were always talking about when we were comparing Arsenal and Tottenham about getting points on the board rather than games in hand, you know? Yeah. Brentford have got points on the board. Burnley, they're very much capable of winning those games in hand. But
do you think
teams
so?
Down the bottom, I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. Teams down the bottom, we don't expect them to win most of the games, innit? So it's like, just quickly talking about the championship, Huddersfield won at the weekend and they're second now.
Yeah.
And they're, what, 2 or 3 points clear of Bournemouth.
Yeah,
but Bournemouth have 5 games in hand. But Bournemouth are one of the better teams in that league. So they're likely to win those games. So it's not the same when you're talking about down the bottom of the Premier League.
The issue is that even with the possibility that Burnley could win those games, they've only won 3 games this season, which is the lowest of any team in the Premier League.
One of them is against Tottenham.
No, of course it was.
But they've drawn 12 times. So the majority of their points have come from draws.
Yeah.
I just get this Brighton, they're going to stay up.
Tottenham.
They're going to stay up.
I think maybe Brentford. Is that
who cares?
All right. Sorry, Burnley fans. Sorry, Clarets.
You've been dying for them to get relegated anyway.
They're not. I
won't be sad if they get relegated.
One of our viewers, listeners, whatever you want to call them, has asked us to...
What are they viewing? Their phone?
They're listeners then.
Yeah.
Okay. They could be viewing our content.
Fair enough.
Donut. All right. They want us to name our bottom three.
Well, I think...
Well,
let's just name...
Norwich.
19th and 18th.
Not Norwich and Watford.
Yeah.
Norwich are definitely... 18th.
No, because 20th we know is Norwich.
Okay, fine.
Watford actually... We'll get to the Arsenal game in a bit. Well, Watford, the way they play is actually... They're actually decent. They can make some chances.
But
they can score some goals.
Yeah. They've got a bit of...
I don't know.
I just think, they got so many defeats in the Watford. Just watching the table is ridiculous. So I would say definitely Norwich 20th. I would say 18th.
19th,
I'm going Leeds. And 18th, I'm going...
Well, you think Leeds are going to slip straight?
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm going Norwich, Watford, Everton.
No,
you know what? I called
dibs
on Everton. I don't want none of you lot coming out and saying Everton.
Sorry, I can't make a point there.
Exactly, yeah. I'm the only person who says a rubbish team is rubbish.
Are you? Well, you said that you claimed Ramsey, so.
Yeah. Jacob Ramsey hive is closed. Okay. We're not open applications anymore.
Okay. So, Tanya, to confirm, are you going Norwich, Watford, Everton?
Yeah.
Norwich, Leeds, Watford.
Everton are so bad.
Leeds are going to fall from 16th to 19th.
I just think making a change at this point in the season and to.
I think Ted Lasso might surprise you.
No, it's the same situation that Swansea had. Swansea changed their manager.
What's his actual name?
Jesse Marsh?
Yeah, Jesse Marsh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might surprise you.
No.
They looked really organized.
Someone's got to tell him there's no fourth quarter.
Okay.
There's no timeouts.
So this isn't a serious podcast.
Nah.
Next up.
I just got, Leeds are too chaotic, man.
Next up. The team that claimed that celebrating a win should be banned.
And they haven't won since.
Wolves lost to Palace. Mateta, who Abdi didn't even know he was at the club, yeah, has scored his fourth goal of the season.
Shout
Did
out
you
to
know
Mateta.
That?
Yeah. How many goals has Benteke got?
Four.
Has he?
Yeah.
Did you say that? I'll get out right now. Show me.
I'll get out right now.
Wolves. Do you know they actually dropped Jimenez for this game? Huang started up front and Neto was back in and Podence. So it looked like that's really fast, technical front three. The Palace just bopped him off the pitch. Olise is got to be he's going to prove out to be one of the biggest bargains ever. If Man United and Chelsea and all these are looking for a right winger, he's got to be up way up there in terms of, like, he's got 35 million release calls. If we didn't have Saka, I'd be all over that, bruv.
Mm.
So he's a quality
player. I was actually going to ask, would you take him? Yeah, look, he's got four.
Four goals, Benteke. Good for you. Man doing gum fingers for Benteke's four goals. And well done. 35 million, well done. And also, Zaha's coming in with loads of goals recently, bro.
Good penalty. I don't get his celebration, though.
Did you see his penalty against Norwich a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I did.
Bruv.
Did we speak about that?
Yeah, no, we didn't do a podcast in it.
Oh,
okay. It was Mark's fault, innit?
All right.
So, yeah, I like the way Palace play. I think there's a lot of talent there.
Is Tanya still with us?
I am still. Oh. I'm listening, guys. I'm listening.
You know, you can contribute at any point if you want. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hard to get a word in sometimes.
Sorry.
Because your big mouth is always, you know.
Man, hang up on her, bruv.
All right, so we were praising Wolves, rightly so, a few weeks ago, saying, you know, really good defence, they're getting wins, blah, blah, blah. Since then, it might be the WTATL curse, allegedly.
Since they've played us.
Yeah, well,
they've gone downhill since they've beaten us.
Well, I've got three words for Wolves. Rest in piss. You know why?
You like them.
Not anymore, bro. After that game, it's just they are masters of the dark arts.
I don't know what this is all about.
No, it's because when we played them, that's one thing, isn't it? Obviously, you wanted to beat them to shut them up. Basically, they were complaining about the fact that when we beat them, we were celebrating. We were down 10 men and we scraped a 1-0 win.
They said that...
The celebrations.
They said that, oh, it shows what level that we have grown to, the fact that Arsenal are celebrating like
they won the league, Well...
Oh, my goodness.
They're obviously the celebration police.
That was straight out of the book of Tanya.
Celebration police created by Roy Keane.
That was straight out of Tanya's book, that was.
Yeah.
You can't celebrate anything.
Yeah, exactly. You can't enjoy it. Oh, don't get it.
Is that correct, Tanya?
No, I said that about the next time
you want to send
against
Man City. Yeah.
Now I'm only messing with you, Tanya. I'm just yanking your chain.
So the next time you want to send voice notes, Tanya. Next time you want to send voice notes of you going Antonio after Tottenham score, delete it because you're not going to celebrate.
Antonio.
Now mute her, bro. How do I mute her?
Tanya, focus. Tanya, come back. Come back to us.
I'm back.
Cool. I'll never do that again in your life. but the reason it's just generally the way they were playing, like they were time wasting from 30 minutes against us.
Yeah, that was
ridiculous. Some of the, like there was one point in the first half against us, I know I'm going back quite a bit, but Saiss, right in front of the assistant referee, he didn't even get touched and he threw himself to the ground and they gave a free kick. I was just looking at a referee like, you are useless, bro. Did you not go to referee training? It's like, and then right at the end as well, when they were holding on for a point, when Jimenez substitute and the manager blatantly said, stay on it, I'll change it, even though he's walking off, taking his time. And all the players, Xhaka could have got a red card, bro.
Jimenez didn't want to come off and they were pushing him
off. Yeah, Xhaka could have got a red card because he was pushing him off, And then Jimenez folded his arm like a five-year-old, saying, no, I'm not getting off. Make me. Yeah. All of that. So that's why I don't like Wolves anymore, just generally. I like a lot of their players.
Are you going to come back next week say, I love Wolves?
No. Well, who they're playing? It depends.
I don't know.
They're playing like any of the...
You're a bit of a flip-flop, isn't it? Tanya called it.
I'm not a flip-flop. I'm just telling the truth, innit? I hate Liverpool.
What did I call?
You called him a flip flop for his Man City.
Oh yeah. He's a.
So you don't even know what you're talking about. But I want to shout out to the three, well, he hasn't played a lot, Eze, but I mean, those three ballers behind, whatever, they need to get a proper striker. Who knows? Eduard might be good next season. But if you get Zaha, Eze, and Olise behind the striker, because I can clearly see Gallagher will probably go back to Chelsea. Yeah. So I think either Eduard will be really good or they can get a new striker.
Maybe Palace should go all out and try and get Van der Beek next season.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
He should have gone to Palace, man. That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he should have probably.
All right.
But Gallagher's been playing a little bit deeper now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well. So who knows, isn't it? He's got a quality goal against Watford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arsenal versus Watford was the first game on Sunday. Usually a tricky fixture going to...
You missed Liverpool, Junior. You missed Liverpool.
No, Liverpool was... Oh, yeah, Liverpool.
However, we can skip Liverpool if we want.
For some reason, I thought Liverpool was the late game on Sunday, but it's actually the late game on Saturday. Thank you, Tanya.
Trent is absolutely outrageous, man.
The ball for Mane.
Unbelievable, yeah.
That was more of a shot that was a bit lucky. Yeah, it looked like a shot that was going
from
wide.
From that far out?
No, I mean, Mane's goal.
Oh, Mane's goal.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, there was the ball in the first minute, like 30 yeah. seconds. First time, and then West Ham could have been 1-0 down. Salah missed.
Oh, that was in the first 5 minutes, the free kick.
No. I'm talking about in the first 30 seconds of the game. What's his name? Vlasic got offside.
That was the first 5 minutes, bro.
No. It was like the first minute or so of the game. And then he played it over the top and Salah's in. He could have easily scored. But then Trent has that. He's an unblocker. Like, he's ridiculous. Like, the guy is... for me, I think we should continue to praise him based on his qualities and his complete game-changing ability for the Liverpool side. You can't just say he'll be better and he'll be worse in a different team because he's the Liverpool setup. No, Liverpool play differently because Trent is ridiculous. You can hide his deficiencies. The only issue I have is Trent. Sometimes it's not even about 1v1. 1v1, a lot of people can be bad 1v1. A lot of people can get ruined by Saint-Maximin or Zaha or Mahrez. It can happen to anyone or Saka. But like with Trent, the only issue I have sometimes is that people can run off the back of him and he's not really aware in terms of the run. Like, Chelsea were doing it quite often in the final. I wanted to speak about it last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But when you talk about his interceptions, he's quite clever in that regards. Like, he makes good interceptions. Made a quality clearance from Fornals, although Fornals didn't put much on it. But
I just want to slap Fornals.
And I don't think there's any question. He has to be a starting right back for England.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No brainer.
But it's tough, isn't it? Because Reece James is balling out for Chelsea.
Well, if you need two right backs, man, you got to move away from Walker and Trippier. I mean, they're good servants for England.
Yeah.
But like, these are the new guys.
But Southgate's going to do a three at the back.
He'll take four of them, bro. He'll probably call Wan-Bissaka. Anyone right back? Max Aarons, Lamptey.
Try to see if Tomiyasu's can get an English passport.
Yeah, anyone. Gary Neville. No.
Do you know, like? I think Luis Diaz he's so electric.
He's absolutely box office. That guy is a superstar. Man.
There's a bit of a debate about him going on Twitter, just because I just want to see what you guys
say. What did he do on Twitter?
No, nothing. He didn't do anything on Twitter, but I'm saying there's a debate on Twitter.
Oh, about him.
That a couple of times in the last few games, he's kind of like a horse with the...
tunnel vision.
Yeah, the tunnel vision. He just he puts his head down and he's running at defenders, and obviously he's quick and skillful enough to get past defenders, but his final decision making lets him down. So for example, in that run against West Ham, when he gets it in his own half and he blitzes and then he gets brought down by Zuma, there was potentially a chance to play in Salah on the he was on the right of him and blah blah blah. So that they're talking about, if he can get rid of all of this stuff, he'll be a much better player, obviously. But I don't think we can judge him so quickly based on just short things that we've seen so far.
I don't think... Well, firstly, in my opinion, I don't know. Maybe I've not seen it, but I think his decision-making is very good. And from what I've seen as well, he's not... The reason I'm such a big fan is because he's got every element of what you want from a winger / wide forward. He looks like he can score goals. He 1v1, he can kill someone. He can come inside and create, and he makes runs off the ball.
But that's what they're saying.
That's you rarely get that in one player.
But they're saying that he's not picking the right moments. For example, two pass. Well, I know we don't watch Liverpool so closely. Like, I got this from a Liverpool account, and Liverpool fans were talking about it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have a Liverpool fan on this podcast who decided to bunk today, but
so. He's scared of the pressure I was going to put him under.
But yeah, so I was just wondering from your perspective.
I think he's like what he's got is so intangible. Like, you know how like Sir Maximan can why he's so invaluable to Newcastle is because he can get the ball from a team that defends more time than they attack, and get the ball up the pitch and relieve pressure. It must be so fun to play with Diaz, because you know his ball retention is so good, his dribbling is amazing. I think he makes good decisions. Like I just like the way he's box office. He's absolutely like he's an entertainer. I love watching him play. Like in the short time already, and it's so jarring that Liverpool have another one.
Yeah,
like it's just they've had Salamano, Firmino for ages, and then all the backups weren't as good as those lot. Went and got Jota.
He had to shut him off a little bit. Liverpool have done brilliantly though. Like, I just love how they do things at Liverpool. Like, they've said, right, we've got a good starting 11, let's build on it now. And they've brought in the likes of Jota, they've brought in Diaz. I'm just so envious.
And it's peak on Jota, you know. It's peak on Jota, because Jota scored bare goals. Yeah. 17 goals a season. And
it is.
You know, you've got this guy who's undroppable for me in Diaz now. And then you've got two of the best players that ever played for that club in the front three. So it's difficult for Jota to get back in. I can understand, but it's the problem you want to have, innit? So Man City, how many of their top... Exactly. Sterling was sitting this weekend. How many of their top players sit on the bench?
Yeah, true.
That's what it is, especially when you're a team like Liverpool. You're playing.
And Liverpool, like, we've seen it before, like, they'll sometimes just change it up and put four. Remember when they played Man City and they played Mane, Jota, Firmino and Salah?
Yeah.
So they could do that. Imagine them four running at you.
That's why I've been asking Mark and Elijah. I was just like, can Diaz play as a 10? If he can, game changer, innit? Mm. Salah was ridiculous this game though. He just wouldn't pass to anyone. And he missed a few chances. But talk about West Ham.
Yeah, West Ham, so profligate. Like, how many chances do you need at Anfield to score one goal?
Oh, if I saw Landini, I'd kick him in the balls.
Honestly, Lanzini's chance. Oh my god!
You can't miss that. You cannot.
It looked on purpose, to be honest. So no, there might be some sort of match fixing thing going on with Liverpool.
He could have passed it.
No, it looked. He kicked it over the bar like clearance. Bro.
Oh, you're talking about in the second half. Oh, I was talking about Fornals. You know, Fornals in the first.
Yeah, Fornals.
When he dinked it over Alisson, but he could have passed it.
Headed it onto Alisson, Vlasic took forever to shoot, and they blocked off the line.
But the Lanzini one, you're right. How do you admit that is match fixing? Allegedly,
So it's peak on West Ham now. Jared Burns injured for a long time now. Peak. Yeah, Declan Rice wasn't playing this game as well.
I feel sorry for West Ham because now they're
I don't. Why do you feel sorry for them, Paul?
Because
fun West Ham.
No, because for a club of. Okay, let's not say club.
Let's not talk about size either.
Yeah,
please.
For that team, that particular ensemble of players to do what they've been doing for the last couple of seasons, I think is an overachievement.
Yeah.
So
it is.
So to get to this point where now we're in this top four race, probably the underdogs in the top four race, and could have a good chance because they were four for a while.
Yeah.
But now you're getting injuries. Jared Burns, a big miss. But now, on top of that, you're going to get something that you're not used to in the running, which is extra games in the Europa League. So they've got Sevilla.
They've got second in La Liga and the team that pretty much owns the Europa League, innit? So they're pissed.
That's what I'm saying. So it's
like, I haven't got sympathy for them though. Like, you had the January transfer window where they could have actually.
They tried.
What are they going to do? Work Antonio to death? Like, the guy, his style of play is prone to injuries. So not getting a substitute striker. I know they tried, but you got to try harder, bro. Like,
I mean, Arsenal tried. We got to try harder.
It's true, isn't it? So now we're going to. That's the thing. They're going to pay the price now as well. And their main goal for it this season was been Bowen, and now he's got injured because you don't rest him. Obviously, this was more of a contact injury. Yeah, I don't really have any sympathy for them. Suchek is Fellaini without the elbows. He is awful, man. I hate watching him play. I hate that style of play. I know he looked good when he was heading a few goals when he first came, but I hate the way he plays. He's not as bad as McTominay, but the guy avoids the ball, and I don't like that. Declan Rice pretty much holds his hand in there, and it's a bit like what Ndidi does to Tielemans, isn't it?
I thought West Ham played well, considering Rice didn't play.
Oh, yeah. They did play well.
Mark Noble came on and started balling out, bro. He was like, I can't move, but I got the tickers, bro. He played one ball over the top. I think it was the Antonio chance where Keita came back and blocked it. where he chopped. No, he didn't chop, but Robertson got a toe in, and then Keita came back and blocked it. Outside of the ball, no ball player, beautiful ball in. And then the touches, like the first touches when they're going through on goal, a lot of them were very poor. And then you got like Bowen as well, like when Van Dijk made the header backwards and Bowen went clear through, he could have took a better touch. And but then who was it who got back? Was it probably Konate or something?
Yeah, I think it was Konate.
Yeah, so it's just it's pretty poor from West Ham, and their form recently has been quite poor as well. So yeah, Mark said he can see them slipping down to like 7 or 8. So you never know.
I mean, yeah, potentially it's difficult because like they're a club that's not used to having so many games, and they've got a really, we've said it before, they've got a really tight squad.
Yeah.
Tans?
I was never convinced they were going to get top four.
Yeah, but you're
never
a hater, aren't
you? Yeah. No, it's not even about being a hater. You remember, I think there needs to be context. When they were winning those games and doing very well, I do think other teams around them, like Arsenal, weren't performing as well as they are now. Spurs, I mean, we were quite crap under Nuno. We still are. But I just think West Ham were never, ever going to get top four with that squad.
Do you know what I think we should stop doing? Not particularly you, Tanya, but I've seen like journalists
do this. But basically you, Tanya.
No, I've seen journalists do this, and it's kind of frustrating. Like, we'll all do it. We'll excuse a team's good form comparing it to the teams around them.
Yeah.
If a team's winning, like, all they can do is win their own games. You can't blame them, you know... This team is only here because the other team's lost. But they won their games.
It's true.
So credit to them.
No. You're right. But my main point is I was just never convinced.
I mean, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
And quality-wise, I always thought Arsenal had better players. Even Spurs, let's be honest. Like, we've got better players than West Ham overall. I just think they were overachieving, as we said. But no, you're right on that point.
Do you see the Cat Lives Matter banner?
Yeah.
I feel like they should leave Zuma alone now. No, he's paid his price, man. Like, they're taking the cats away.
Good. That's it. So they should.
They should ban him from. Do you buy cats? Or, I don't know. How do you get cats?
Adopt cats.
Yeah, he should obviously be banned from all.
You buy cats. Them from. Yeah.
Oh, you can buy
from
them.
Sellers on Gumtree or something. But, like, yeah. And obviously, he's paid his dues. Like, given his money. And he's been. I think just booing him all the time now. It's just.
He deserves it. I'm sorry.
He deserves the punishment he's got. But now, what's the point now?
Abdi.
Yes.
I have a cat.
I didn't say he should kick personally. Your cat. I didn't say he should kick your cat. I'm just saying, from the perspective of
it will.
I can see why people are getting triggered. Absolutely. But you're gonna boo him for the rest of his life.
Well, not. I'm sure it'll blow over next season. But I think it's just.
Well, then it's just a time issue then, I guess, isn't it? When is the right time to stop doing it then?
It's the same thing with racism.
Well, that's a little bit different though. Because racism
I'm not comparing like cat kicking and racism. What I'm saying is like the same like for a player being knee, for example, booed.
When do you stop taking the knee? And
yeah,
that stuff,
that's what I mean. Like, like.
A player who has committed racism.
Yeah, like for example, Suarez.
Well, Suarez is a reprehensible human being. Yeah, so, but I mean, generally.
Suarez being booed.
Yeah.
And then... The season afterwards,
never happened. Yeah, it's true.
So that's what I mean.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. I think he deserved to be punished. He's been punished. I think from then on now, like, what's this achieving now?
I mean, it's a reminder for him not to kick cats.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, just now, when I was coming in, a cat jumped out of the bush. I didn't kick it. Oh my God. Nah. Tony would have left his corner. No, he jumped out and then I went, ooh, like that. And then there was a Chinese couple, and I'm not just guessing they're Chinese, they told me they were Chinese. They said,
why did you just speak to everyone on the
road? No, they just said to me, they laughed at me. And I was just like, oh my God, I nearly got caught by the cat. And they're like, oh, we love cats. We've got like 6 of them in China. So like, I'm the opposite of Zuma now.
All right, okay, let's move on. So Watford finally did play Arsenal at Vicarage Road. For Arsenal, it's been sometimes like a test.
Mm-hmm.
It's a test going there.
Yeah.
We dropped 2 goals the last time we went there and we drew 2-2. And, you know, there's a whole Troy Deeney.
The last time they were there before
Troy Deeney loves to take the mic and it's always been that kind of thing.
Troy Deeney was on Match of the Day, bruv. He looks like if Joelien Lescott let himself go. And he sounds like him as well. It's just, whatever.
Okay. So, but Arsenal got the 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And deserved over the whole context of the game.
Some screaming goals. Just generally, the game was full of wonderful goals.
Hernandez's goal was fantastic, and the 3 Arsenal goals were well worked.
I agree. I completely agree with what Arteta was saying. He said we should have won that game by more.
Yeah.
But the organisation, some players had like really bad moments in the game. Like, Gabriel's passing was all over the place.
Ramsdale's passing was
taking a piss a couple times. Was actually... I heard Ramsdale in an interview saying, I have to think about other things in a game because I'll get bored and I can't focus on one thing and I'll start making mistakes. He must have just been focusing on the game because he was kicking the ball to them purposefully on times. And I was just like, I get it, you're good with your ball, but stop taking a piss.
Yeah, yeah.
Gabriel as well, I felt Ben White was carrying him in his mistakes. His passing was all off.
Made some crucial blocks. Ben White, I mean.
Tierney as well was taking a piss in this game as well. They were getting down the sides quite a lot. He's got a very, very interesting profile to me. I like watching him play. I like what it was a really, really bad miss. But I mean, from that chance as well, it was like Martinelli and Tierney down the sides. But Arsenal, we scored some stunning goals and it's been a feature of our play for a while now. This really, really good football.
Before you go on with the good football, mm-hmm. I sent it to you over the weekend. I was watching, the game on Brazilian ESPN.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Brazilian commentators, they're not like English commentators where, like, they're quite polite and if someone's having a bad game, they'll just say, oh.
They're like NBA commentators.
Yeah, he's been a bit poor. It's not his day.
Yeah.
But this guy was going like this, yeah? So he goes, Dennis has been horrific today. So one of the misses, he goes, Dennis, let me introduce you to a football. You need to treat her with care and kindness. And then the commentator next to him goes, you know, he's their top scorer. He's been involved in like 54% of their goals. And he's like, oh, so he just can't play football today. And he was just like going in and in. He's like every touch. He's like, oh, he's really bad today.
Oh, my God. They should get like Brazilian commentators into like the pundits and match of the day and stuff, and actually get some proper analysis.
Oh, but also like they make like the most weird comparisons and stuff. It's just great to watch. But anyway, back on the game, good football.
We play really good football, and I made the mistake of watching match of the day because the punditry is so lazy, and Murphy was talking about, oh, Arteta made a tactical switch for this game by making the wingers stay high and wide. And Xhaka playing further forward as like an eight next to Odegaard and Partey. We've been doing that for the last 3 months, bro. That's how you know they just don't watch it, and then the people pick out the clips of them. So that's what annoyed me. But in this game, Arteta, I can tell, was getting so frustrated by the organisation. Yeah. Because the way, like, for example, we play some good triangles up and keeping the ball up, and then when we lose it, the way they were countering us, especially down the flanks, was too much. I didn't like it, and hence why they got the two goals as well. From the Cucho Hernandez goal, if you just watch Xhaka in that clip, and that's exactly why there's such an easily upgradable option with that guy. He's been playing well. He played very well against Wolves. But if you watch it, Dennis is just standing there. Firmino pretty much runs from his house all the way down to overlap him, yeah? And Xhaka's just standing, like, doing nothing. And he leaves it for Martinelli. Tierney could have done something, but Xhaka, you can see the guy running past you. Go with him. You could have stopped that crossing opportunity. Obviously, it's a crazy finish as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just want to spend the next 2 hours of this podcast.
2 hours?
Talking about Bukayo Saka. I would...
Tanya, you got time.
She's in jail, man. You ain't got any time, bruv. You're in a cell. You ain't got anything else to do. I would put my jacket down on a puddle for Saka to walk on. Let's leave that there.
That's outrageous.
he's absolutely fantastic. There's no element.
Andy is infatuated with Saka.
No, I'm not infatuated. He's my son. There's no element of being a winger that I feel he's weak at. He's clever, technically fantastic. He can stand up physically. He's good combination. 1v1, he can kill people, and he's scoring goals and getting assists now. So you can't catch him. You can't put him down on anything right now in terms of his, and he's only 20 years old, which is scary. He's unbelievable, and he's just been balling out. Scott, like, you know, all of the goals he was involved in, he's just amazing to watch.
He's got the most goal contributions for someone any player under 21.
But I don't think we just call him an under 21 player. I know he is actually under 21, but he's a big man now, isn't it?
No, but like they were comparing him to Smith Rowe, Martinelli, yeah. Foden, and all these players here. So. For young player of the year, do you think he should get it? Unbiasedly speaking, of course.
I don't know. Who like is what under 20 is it under 20 or under 23?
It's under 23.
So then, does Reece James come under that?
Let me see.
Who comes under that category?
Reece James has been, I can't see another, like, a more maybe, of an outstanding Trent. Candidate. Trent is not, Trent, is he 23?
James is 22.
How old is Trent? Sorry, guys, we I promise you, we are football fans. We just don't know the
Trent is actually 23.
Yeah, they'll probably give it to him then. But I mean, I think Foden would probably be a big candidate there as well. Conor Gallagher is up there as well. A few of those players. And like, there's probably players we're not thinking about right now as well.
But do you think the okay, let's pretend, I'm not willing to, I'm going to do what Mark does, and I'm not going to like say that.
You know me, bro. I'll give him Ballon d'Or, bro. No. You don't have to ask me.
Fine. Me and Tanya, the only rational people in this podcast. I'm going to do what Mark does, and I'm not going to confirm that we're not going to get top four. But say we did, and Saka has been a leading factor in that aspect, you'd have to give it to him.
Yeah, of course. I mean...
Yeah, definitely.
Like you said, I'm openly biased.
Yeah.
But I can't really think of... Smith Rowe would have been there, but there's a few injuries. The thing is, people are very fickle when they're coming up to come to the decision. Like Reece James has been injured for the last 3 months or so he might not get it that way. But before then, he's probably a shoo-in for it. Yeah. So people are very fickle when it comes to... If your form is good for 5 minutes, they're like for example, Son, he'll go crazy for 3 months and they say, oh, player of the year. But he goes quiet for 3 months as well. It's the same thing
he's
as well.
Bring up Son for, man. Leave him out of this.
Whatever, man. Overrated piece of crap. I'm joking. I'm joking.
If you don't slap him next time you see him, I swear down.
Oh my God.
All I'm saying, Tanya, and I'm not going to say too much, but the next time I see you, it won't be International Women's Day.
No, whatever.
So I dare you to slap me next time you see me, innit?
I will.
We do not condemn violence or abuse of any human beings on this podcast.
I'm just chatting crap.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, at least I've got my lawyer hat on as well.
Anyway, Odegaard as well has been
he's been amazing as well. I just love the way Odegaard plays because he seems to be someone who's the very opposite of McTominay. He has care for the ball at all times. The way he receives it, the way he short passes, his touch is beautiful. He's just a beautiful footballer to watch. He's like Steph Curry.
Okay.
It's just effortless what he does as well. And he's a very aesthetically pleasing player. And also now he's coming up with the goods as well. Like
it was a great upgrade, isn't it? We sold Willock for 25 million and bought Odegaard for 30.
Yeah.
Good business.
But also that third goal. Martinelli goal,
yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah,
I see
from people, Arteta to Saka to.
Yeah. I'll give Odegaard, Arteta the credit for being an active ball boy, but he's not getting assists because five people touched it after him, bro. Yeah, and also the credit should go to Saka for taking the quick throw in. Yeah,
I mean, it should go to Odegaard for the quick
touch as well, and the Lacazette for a lovely layoff as well.
It was just a great goal
all around. Yeah, but then,
should we just end it here?
Can we just quickly talk about the top four?
No, wait, we're going to talk about the other team fighting for top four.
Okay, cool. No,
really?
So, Tanya, I know...
You should be happy.
I know you're usually kind of on the border of realistic and pessimistic, but can we get, like, the realistic point now where you beat Everton? Realistically, you're only 3 points behind fourth place. That should fill you with some joy. That was a good performance. You brushed them aside. You were quite worried before the game.
Yeah,
she's not like normal Tottenham fans. She's the most pessimistic person I've ever seen.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
she straddles
realistic and pessimistic. Sorry, Tanya, go on.
No, I was gonna say you're right, Junior. I wasn't confident because Spurs have been so inconsistent. And what have we always said about this top four? Consistency will get you top four. And I just look at teams like Arsenal, for example. I honestly think you're the favourite to top four. And I think you can even afford to probably lose some of the games you've got in hand. I just don't trust Spurs that much. And let's be honest about it. Everton, they are a poor, poor side. Mm-hmm. And we should be beating a team like Everton. It was a good performance. I think it was a good performance because you're right, it does keep our top four hopes alive. When you actually look at the table, it's still not impossible. It's not mathematically impossible. But I just don't trust us to be consistent enough. But I think, standouts in that game was Kulusevski. I'm really impressed with him. I think Kulusevski and Bentancur, as much as I weren't happy with the chance for Ngar, I think they're two very good players. I just like his decision-making. I think he's you know, doing well, 6 games, 2 goals, 3 assists. Bentancur, again, I think he's so composed on the ball. Harry Kane, he's coming back into form. One of his worst seasons, and he's still scored 10 goals.
Yeah.
But results like the Middlesbrough, you don't know how angry I was, guys, after that performance. I mean, Middlesbrough, like, they're 8th in the Championship, and this is why I'm just, yeah, we could talk about top four, but I just want the season to end already, I'll be honest. Like, I don't think we did enough. And Andy, you can stop laughing.
No, I'm just laughing about, because I'm thinking about the tweet. So I saw Tadi's Twitter, yeah, after Tottenham tweeted out goal for Middlesbrough. And then she went, oh, was it the Burnley game? There was a goal they tweeted out on their Twitter. And then Tadi quoted to it and she says, oh, F off. I could just hear her going, oh, F off. That's really pissed me off now.
The thing is, yeah, people do call me pessimistic and that's fine, but which you probably don't want to even think about.
There's a lot of emotional damage being a Tottenham fan, isn't it?
What is there to be positive about? Like, it's literally the same. Like, I even enter, like, Twitter spaces sometimes that are talking about Spurs, and it's literally constantly blaming the players, constantly blaming the manager, constantly blaming the owners. It's the same crap every single season, and I'm actually fed up of it. Mm. Like, it gets to a point where you're just like, I have to accept that getting to a point now where I'm starting to just not call us a big six club. Some would argue that we never are a big six club because we're not as big as your Arsenal, your Chelsea, your Man City's. Our owners are not going anywhere. So as much as I can say I hate Levy, they're not going anywhere. We don't spend big in the summer. I can't see us spending big in the summer because we won't attract top players and we won't pay the money. So
we're just Tanya, why don't you just change teams?
I've never changed teams. I love my football club and I want to hope that one day, you know, we'll get a massive takeover like a Newcastle, but I don't know, man. Conte, he's flip-flopping in 1 week, he's happy. The next minute, he wants to leave and he's criticising the players. But I don't know. The only thing we can hope on is Arsenal slipping up, other teams slipping up. That's the only way I see us getting.
You do
four.
Have another hope, though. You've got Harry Kane. He's just a game changer, bro. Yeah. Like, he's ridiculous. No, he's,
and also, you've got a
that
massive
finish
game.
So oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, my God.
Outrageous. Wow. That's Harry Kane, though. But Tanya, you've got a massive game on Saturday. Spurs play United
away, innit?
Yeah, away.
They'll probably lose that, to be honest.
No, but Spurs.
Yeah, this is the thing. That's Spurs. He's right. That's my frustration, and I just feel like we'll win against Everton, and you'll think, right, Spurs actually look decent here. We look a good side, you know. Played some nice football yesterday. Kane's looking good, but we'll come up against Man United, a game that we need to win, and we won't do it. And Man United have been poor. I actually fancy us against United, but I just know we won't win.
Yeah.
It will be so Spursy.
Spurs have got an inferiority complex when it comes to Man United.
Yeah.
I don't know, but...
We do, we don't. We do, definitely.
Recently, they won last season at United. And then the season before, then they went 3-0 as well. Lucas Moura scored 2 goals.
It's true. I mean, but still, they lost to Ollie's Man United.
Yeah, okay. But,
exactly.
But so did we.
No, we lost to Carrick.
No, but we also lost to Ole's Man United.
We never lost to Arteta, never lost to Ole.
Oh, yeah, it was a draw. All right, yeah. Anyway, but Tanya, okay, I know this is hypothetical, but if Spurs beat Man United, do you feel any kind of confidence that it could happen? I know you're still relying on other teams, but realistically, you're only one game ahead of Arsenal with 3 points behind. It's not. I know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say because obviously it's mathematically possible, and you're in the race. But I know from your past experience, you're scared to even say that you're in the race. But
yeah,
does that feel you?
No, do you know what? If we beat United, I think it will be a massive result for us. And I also think we've got that advantage now that Arsenal have. We just have Premier League to worry about. And I actually think that when Conte has had a full week with the squad, we seem to perform better. I also think having Bentancur back is a massive plus. I hope Skip can come back as well. But again, I think it relies on Arsenal's games in hand. That's what I'm clinging on to, because your games in hand, you've got Chelsea, you've got us. I think that's a massive game as well. We have to beat you at our ground. And then your other game in hand is Liverpool.
Yeah, it's Liverpool.
But so we've only got one game in hand on Tottenham, though.
Yeah.
I do think you've got harder fixtures.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to come on to. I think with Tottenham, I get why Tanya is pessimistic. It's not completely doom and gloom, but she's been burnt so many times by Tottenham. And just generally, Tottenham fans have been burnt too many times. And Tottenham are just too Jekyll and Hyde because they went and beat Man City, lost to Burnley. They went and smacked Leeds, lost to Middlesbrough. Now they won 5-0. You can clearly, it's just a right on the wall. They're going to lose to Man United 1-0 with a Ronaldo goal.
But wait, dude, Tanya, I'm not too aware of like Spurs' fixture.
They got the easiest fixture.
You got Man United. Do you still have to play Chelsea, Liverpool, or West Ham?
They play Liverpool. They play Chelsea twice. They've got Liverpool. Yeah, they've got Liverpool at Anfield.
Oh, you got Liverpool at
Anfield. Yeah, we've got Liverpool
and West Ham.
But we did get a draw against Liverpool. Yeah, we have got West Ham. That's tough for us.
Yeah, at home. Yeah,
but it's at home, and we've beaten them at home already. Although it was in the
so this is the point I wanted to make when it comes to Arsenal. A lot of people saying it's an Arsenal favour. We've got 3 games in hand on Man United, who are one point behind us. We're in 4th place. I can get all that. But the reason I'm pessimistic is because if you look at the fixtures we've got, firstly, we haven't beaten any team in the top 4 this season. On top of that, like if you see the fixtures, we've got Chelsea away, West Ham away, Tottenham away. And then we've got Man United and Liverpool at home. And then there's at least four other fixtures that I've counted that are tricky with teams that are in somewhat good form. Southampton away, although they did get smacked at the weekend, but they've been in good form. Aston Villa away, good, they're in good form. Tricky. Palace away, they're in good form. And the other one is Newcastle away.
Yeah, so but all of those. Yeah, but you're talking about them. They're in form now. In a few weeks, you don't know.
Exactly. We'll never know. But I mean, right now,
we've got Leicester, and then we've got Liverpool, and then we've got Villa.
So next week is a key week. It's key a big week. We've got Leicester Sunday. And then we've got Liverpool Wednesday, and then Villa Saturday.
But so. I do think those games, like even I think, just try and get draws. I think, like even if you've got a draw and like against Liverpool, I think that would be enough. Because I just think what you've done this season, I think you've had a massive shift in mentality. I think last season the games that you should have won, you weren't winning, and I feel like you're doing that this season. And you've definitely capitalised on other teams around you have. Just fell to win their game.
My biggest worry is actually Tottenham, to be honest.
Well, the thing is that I know Tanya's saying we should get draws. I know what you're saying, Tans, about draws, but we're actually one of the teams that have drawn the least amount of games in the league. So we're a team that usually either wins or loses. So it's a bit tricky. I mean, it's going to be, for me, it's going to be exciting by exciting, I mean like I'm going to have heart palpitations until the final day of the season.
Nothing is exciting. It's going to be terrifying.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, Liverpool will be tough. But how do you feel about those games? Do you feel you could get... I think you could get something out of it. I mean, you should fancy yourselves against us. I know it's at home and you ain't beating us at home in a couple of years now. But let's be honest, like you could easily beat us.
It goes the same way, Tans. Like you could easily beat us. Like
I can't... Tottenham have Harry Kane, man. That's simply it. Tanya, honestly, from my point of view, if Tottenham didn't have Harry Kane, I think you'd all be finished, like dusted. I wouldn't even be worried about them. I'd be so confident going into that game. But Harry Kane is such a game changer in the fact that literally, one, he can win a game by himself, and he's making all of the other attackers much better.
He loves
100 goals against Arsenal in the derby.
He loves scoring against Arsenal.
So, you know, Harry Kane is literally what Tottenham should be hoping for. Like, literally, wrap him up in cotton wool between games. And he's the only reason I feel like they're still in with a shout. Because goals are what matters, you know. Lacazette has been really good on the chance creation assist front, yeah? But the guy has the same amount of goals as Gabriel. It's March and he has 3 goals. Harry Kane has pretty much taken half a season off and he's come back and now he's got 10 goals now and he's probably got about 15 assists. I don't know how much he's got, bruv. The guy is... And he can score. Like Harry Kane is a threat. At any moment, he's a threat. From any point of the pitch, he can change a game. And that's
But if you're looking at the team, that's probably the only thing that we've got above you, really. Like, defensively, you're much better than us. You've been so solid defensively this season. I think your midfield's better. Our midfield is just whack. I don't know. I honestly, and I think the way you guys play, we hate. I honestly think you'll get something. I get a bad feeling.
I honestly think you're forgetting one thing. Antonio Conte knows how to win big games.
Yeah.
He showed it against Man City.
Yeah.
He'll set up Tottenham to be the hardest team to play against. And I could see it like you sneaking a 1-0 or a 2-1. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't want to think about the North London derby. I don't want to think
about it.
The worst thing is, a date hasn't even been confirmed, so I can't even prepare myself for when I'm going
to
be nervous.
I just hope like they sweep it under the carpet and they're like, just we don't need about to.
Yeah. Everyone, we both finished on 37 games.
But I want to quickly, I know we're going to wrap up, but Everton, I said it last week, they are honestly one of the worst teams in the league. Defensively, they are all over the place. I think Jamie Carragher said it. They've got championship defence. They are awful.
How
Deli Alli has made zero impact as well. Like, Jesus. What, honestly. And you know what? I've got no sympathy for Everton. Again, why are you hiring Frank Lampard? The guy is just, I'm sorry, he's not proven himself at this level. Mm. He is. He absolutely is. And you're in a complete mess. And you're like, oh, who's the guy I'm going to call when I'm in a complete shit show crisis? Oh, let's get Frank Lampard. Fat Frank. And you know what makes me so angry? When he started saying, oh, yeah, we were really good in the first half, as you do here, you can always get something, or something like that, being really shady. I'm just like,
you lost 5-0, bro.
You literally lost 5-0. Now's not the time to be making digs, you bloody wish Steven Gerrard was. Get him out of here, man.
Tanya, you know before the game, you said, we're going to see if Tottenham need Jesus. Do you think Everton need Jesus?
They need Jesus, Mary, everyone. They need everyone.
All right, that wraps up our weekly roundup.
I hate watching Everton. And like I said, I hate incompetence is the most jarring thing as well. I actually turned it off in anger.
Okay, but we're wrapping up.
Oh, yeah.
Not here, so we ain't got time strength.
DCL didn't score, did he? Huh?
But what's he going to do?
DCL.
Okay, we need to wrap this up. It's 1 hour 40.
Last thing, yeah?
Oh, my God.
Frank Lampard, yeah? I've said it 3 times this podcast. Rest in piss. Yeah. And I hope they go down.
There you have
I hope Burnley go down. I hope a lot of teams go down.
Okay, but the only 3 teams can go down. Anyway.
I hope Tottenham go down.
Can we end this?
Yeah, let's end it.
Okay.
I hope Man United go down as well.
Okay, man of the week. Mark usually would have to start this one, but I guess we'll start with Tans.
Oh, man.
Sorry to put you on
the spot. I've got to give it to a Spurs player this week. I feel like, did Mark vote Harry Kane last week? I feel like he did.
We didn't have a podcast.
But I nominated Harry Kane.
That was it. I'm actually going to give it to Kulusevski. Because I think he's been brilliant for us. You know, like I said, 6 games, 2 goals, 3 assists. Great performance all round. So yeah, I'm giving it to Kulusevski.
Fair enough. So Abdi, over to you.
I think you know this one already.
Oh, go on.
Oh, give God. Saka!
are you done? Firstly,
I'm done.
Don't let his name come out of your mouth again, yeah? Yeah, you speak with respect when you're talking about my king, yeah? Bukayo Saka, MBE, OBE, Sir Bukayo Saka, sorry. Yeah. He's just an amazing player.
I thought you were going to try and give him a middle name.
Saka is the reason I wake up every morning.
Wow, okay.
I watch every single Saka compilation on Twitter and YouTube. I don't think I haven't watched anything on that isn't.
I'm gonna give it to Riyad Mahrez for Kevin De Bruyne for a big performance against Man United in the Manchester derby and then Mark's probably gonna give it to Mane. I'm joking, Mark.
I'll do Mark's one. I'm gonna give it to someone who deserves it and they've been playing really well. I don't want to be biased, but I'm going to give it to Trent.
Okay.
Mark gives it to Liverpool players, yeah? Or he gives it to players who used to play for Liverpool.
Yeah, so he might give it to
or
Coutinho.
Or players who played well against Liverpool.
Yeah, Coutinho, Coutinho.
Yeah, might be, yeah.
A goal and 2 assists. Okay, we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later. Sports Social Podcast Network.